Hallelujah. This is TH-103, week one, class number three. I need to make a correction of something that I said at the beginning. And it's a misprint in the syllabus that you have. Those of you listening to this by recording, the syllabus you have may be corrected by the time you see it. But it has to do with the paper. It says in the syllabus that we handed out tonight, if handwritten, it must be printed 12 pages long. That should be 20 pages, not 12. So it should be 20 pages, not 12. That's a misprint. The handwritten pages are supposed to be 20 papers. Anyway, so I just wanted to address that. Now, let's pick up and continue here. What we did, you know, we finished off the last session with 15 minutes of time for you to pray. It really is just training. That's all it is. And putting into practice what we've taught. That's why, you know, obviously the last session on the recording was only about a half hour instead of the full 45 minutes. But I read to you what the Lord gave to me during that time. Sometimes that can have a negative effect. Because when I read what the Lord's given to me, some people can sit and think, well, for crying out loud, he didn't say anything like that to me. I mean, all I heard was, go to bed earlier. I mean, see what I mean? You know, some folks can get intimidated because they think they're supposed to hear encyclopedias worth of information, and they're just now doing this. They're just now learning to do this. So, and again, it's possible that I could spend 15 minutes and the Lord only give me one sentence, a one-sentence instruction he wants me to do. Because from his perspective, that's all I need to hear right now. Here, I'm going to tell you this, and that's all you need for this moment. So it's not a matter of who heard the most. It's a matter of listening, learning to hear, and writing down what he gives you. And he is not always going to speak great volumes. Sometimes he just wants you praying and receiving edification, and he's not going to say a whole lot at that particular time. Other times, if you're writing by longhand, you're going to get writer's cramp trying to, you know, keep up with him, and because he will give you a lot. But this is putting into practice what we did here tonight. Like I said, we've never done this before in this course, but this is looking back on it, we probably should have. But this is a part of learning how to hear his voice and to document it. Okay, now what do you do with what he's given you? Well, first off, let's face it. It's possible that you didn't hear God when you were writing. And what I mean is this. If you've never done anything like this before, you might have just written some things down that you thought of that it wasn't you. But I do know this. Because of this course and the way that this course is structured, if you did this, especially those of you that are listening to this by recording, if you did spend that 15 minutes praying in the Spirit, God did speak. Now, whether or not you clearly heard him, again, this is a learning process. So it's nothing to get down on yourself about, because over time, if you keep doing this, you will learn to hear him. But you take what he gave you, what you wrote down, and you create a notebook. You create a way of, or you save it on your computer. I mean, however you want to do this. You save this, you document it. Because something he said to you right now, this night, may be something he's going to bring back to mind 2 or 3 years from now. Remember that night you said in that class, and you wrote this down? Okay, now is when I want you to apply it. Because not everything he gives you is going to be relative for this specific moment, this hour of your life. Some of the things he'll give you will be in preparation for what is to come. It's just, he'll speak differently relative to what he wants you to hear when he wants you to hear it. So you save what he gave you. You always document this. You always save it. You never throw it away. You always keep it. Because remember, this is God speaking to you. This is the person you've been wanting to hear from all these years. This is God giving you direction for your life. This is God speaking to you about his will for you. Like what I read about God's love and so forth, that applies to the entire body of Christ. I mean, it's not just me, but it's something for everyone. And yet some things he'll give me is for me. It's not for everybody. It's for me. Same thing for you. Same principles apply. So you always want to hold on to this. Now let's talk about the four ways that the Holy Spirit communicates. And the focus here really is on the Holy Spirit communicating. First off is the inner witness. The Holy Spirit is not a troubling spirit. He is not going to cause you great consternation. He is not going to cause confusion. He is not a troubling spirit. Now, there can be conviction, but there's a difference between conviction and being troubled. In other words, devils will try to trouble you. The Holy Spirit, He may convict, but His goal ultimately is to help you conform to the image of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of peace. The inner witness is a disruption of that peace. And some people refer to this as a check in their spirit. And again, this is something that it takes time to recognize, because your emotions can try to simulate a check in the spirit simply because it's something you don't like. Or, you know, maybe somebody suggests, I don't know, well, let's go over here and do such and such. Just go, okay, Paul. The Bible says that Paul in chapter 16 wanted to go to Bithynia and preach. It says the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him. Okay, well, how did the Holy Spirit tell him not to go? Was it the inner witness or what? We don't know for sure. But my guess is that he had a check in his spirit, because he was so sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit in his life. I'm guessing that he had a check in his spirit. In other words, there was a disruption of that peace. See, here's the thing. The more you pray in tongues, the more God's peace is going to be ministered to you. Right? And when we get into the course about worship, you're going to understand more. And we'll talk about worship here in this course later on. But you're going to understand more about how worship, not so much just worship in a church service, but private worship, when you're just alone, just you and God, and you're worshiping Him. No music, nothing. Just you, Jesus, I praise You and I honor You and I glorify Your name. Lord, I praise You. That kind of worship will also take you into a place of greater peace with God. It will bring about a release of a greater level of God's peace in your life. The more of His peace that you begin walking in, the more sensitive you're going to be to this inner witness, this check in the spirit. It's a disruption of God's peace. It has nothing to do with your emotions, because you can feel really good about something but still have a check in your spirit that it shouldn't be, or you shouldn't do it, or whatever it would be. He ministers by revelation, an entire concept or principle released in us all at one time. Immediately communicating this revelation to others is not easy, but additional praying in the Spirit helps us better communicate to others. This has happened to me, and it will happen to you as well. But especially if you're called to a pulpit ministry, this will definitely happen. You pray in tongues, you pray in tongues, you pray in tongues, and then it's like He instantly downloads all of this information. And there is no way that you could sit down with somebody and explain it in 5 minutes. I'm trying to remember which series it was that I taught. I think it was the series on From Covenant to Son. I think that was a 15 or a 16 sermon series. And the essence of that entire series, He gave to me in a matter of moments. And it took like 15 or 16 sermons for me to be able to convey all of that information that He gave me just in a few moments of time. And that comes from praying in tongues. It's kind of like, if you're familiar with computers, if you know what a zipped file is, you can download a zipped file. It's like a file where all the information is compressed, and then once it's downloaded into your computer, you unzip it, and it expands. Have you ever seen those sponges that are all flat and all scrunched up, and they're dry as a bone, but when you put them in water, they begin growing, turning into like little animals or, you know, whatever it is? Well, that's kind of the way it is sometimes with this revelation. You're praying in tongues, and He just unloads or releases into you massive amounts of information that even in your mind, you know it, but you've got to sort it out, got to get it in order and so forth. And more praying in tongues gets everything situated, structured, in order. And when you're teaching it, then He gives you the line upon line process by which you are supposed to convey and release that information to others. The audible voice, it's a voice that seems so real. It's like He's in the room with you, but it won't necessarily be audible to others. Now, later on, when we teach in more detail about hearing from God, we are going to expand on this and give a whole lot more information. It's kind of like right now we're introducing it. Later we're going to expand on it. Visions. And I would also, throw in dreams. Now, there's a course in your second year that deals specifically with dreams and visions. And that entire course is going to go into great intricate detail about dreams and visions and how God ministers to people through dreams and visions. But again, right now, we're just basically touching on this. An inner vision, it's something that you see it on the inside, but you're still aware of your surroundings. In other words, you're looking at other things around you. It's like you're driving, you don't lose consciousness, but yet on the inside, you're seeing something. An open vision is when you lose focus of your surroundings. A night vision, this could happen in a dream or in a way that you're not sure if it's a dream or something else. And that's happened to me in the past, and again, this is something I'll share later on in the other course. We just don't have that kind of time here. But Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 through the remainder of the book, that is a good example of a vision. John wrote, whether in the spirit, out, I don't know. And he begins to write down all of these things that he saw. I mean, when you think about it, from Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 on, John is giving to us essentially 7 years of human history in just a few short chapters. I mean, that's revelation and vision all at the same time. As far as avoiding deception is concerned, the way that the Holy Spirit communicates, look over in 1 John. 1 John. One of the things that's about this whole method of the Holy Spirit's communication, the visions and the revelation and so forth, is to come to the place of accepting that He wants to do this for you. A lot of people, it's sad, but so many Christians think that these kind of things only happen to the big-time preachers. That is not true. If you're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, here you are, a child of God. God wants to do this for you. Every single one of you, no matter who you are. Now, you might have been raised in a religious atmosphere where you were taught that basic, well, I'll say it like this, where through teaching it was kind of implied that the common Christian is excluded from this. That is not true. Absolutely not true. You know, over, I think it was Amos. Amos was given a prophetic word from God to go deliver it. And at one point, he was confronted by this. And somebody said, who do you think you are? And I'm paraphrasing. It's Amos chapter 7. Who do you think you are? And Amos said, hey, listen. I was a shepherd, okay? I didn't apply for this job. I'm not a prophet. But God gave me this word to deliver. And so I'm delivering this word. And what I'm getting at is, you might be a shepherd. Maybe you're a secretary. Maybe, I don't know what you are. But think of it this way. In God's eyes, there's no such thing as a common Christian. You're all God's children. And every single person, we have to come to the place of believing that God wants to communicate by the Holy Spirit to us in these ways. Because if you don't believe He'll do it, then it's almost like you're closing the door to what He wants to do in your life. And again, all of this, to some Christians, this is also foreign. We've never heard teaching like this. Well, we should have. We should have been hearing these things. And so, it's not really our fault that we haven't, even though we've had the Bible. I mean, we just haven't had this teaching. Okay, now we do. Praise God. And we have to accept the fact God wants to minister to us this way. In 1 John chapter 2, in verse 26 and 27, He says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Now this is, verse 27 is very similar to what Jesus said in John 14 and John 16 about the Holy Spirit. When He, the Spirit of truth, and teaching us all things, guiding us into all truth, etc., and so forth. In this statement, what He's saying here in 1 John 2, 26 and 27, He is not dismissing the ministry, the Ephesians chapter 4 ministry gift of the teacher. In other words, God's not contradicting Himself here. The ministry of the teacher has been established, and that ministry still exists. What He's saying here is that you don't need to exalt any man to the position of being your sole teacher. Now think with me. Some of you guys might have experienced this to where, like the pastor, it's almost like he presents himself as, you listen to me, I'll tell you what you need. Churches, situations where the pastors, you know, basically told people they don't need to bring their Bible. And I'll tell you what you need to know. It's like, well, now, I appreciate your calling. I mean, if you're truly called to that ministry. I appreciate what God's done in you. And I appreciate the callings of God, the ministry gifts, the ministry callings. But the thing is, as much good as you can do for me, you can't do as much good for me as the Holy Spirit. And besides that, why in the world would you tell me to leave my Bible at home? Are you afraid I might figure out you're saying something wrong? No, I need my Bible. He's saying in this passage, in verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Who are the people that seduce us? Is it the people, the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons? Is it the Muslims? Is it the people that want to, the David Koresh kind of people, the cult leaders? Is this who he's talking about? Well, at the far end of the spectrum, yes. But if you look up in verse 18, he says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, when you think in terms of Antichrist, don't think simply in terms of what you see in the book of Revelation. Antichrist. Okay, what is that? Well, first off, the word Christ, the anointed one and his anointing. Anti-anointed one and his anointing. Okay? You have an anointing that abides within you. Anti-anointed one and his anointing. It's going to be hard for somebody to lead you astray who continually prays in tongues. Who continually allows that anointing to be released in them. Antichrist. Let me give a very generalized definition. Anyone who preaches and teaches things that Christ would not preach and teach. Now look what he says in the next verse. They went out from us. Who? These people he's referring to as Antichrist type people. I mean, there's only one book of Revelation, Antichrist. So he's not talking about that person. He says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. In other words, at one time they were a part of us. We were walking together. How can two walk together except they be agreed? At one time we were walking together and we were in agreement with each other. But they went out from us. Think of it like this, a church split. Okay? Well, bless God, we just don't believe that anymore. There is a denomination. How many of you are familiar with the Church of God that's headquartered in Cleveland, Tennessee? Well, that's a very Pentecostal, filled with the Holy Ghost denomination. It originated back in, its roots go back to like 1870-something. And out of that group, there was a dispute back in the early part of the 1900s, like 1910 or something like 1920, I forget what. But there was a dispute, and it had to do with the governmental structure of how things were being handled within the denomination, because by then they had organized. Instead of just being a group of people meeting, they had organized. Well, this group, it split. And the group that split off from them went and formed their own organization, and they used the term Church of God in their name. And when they split off, they began to use a governmental structure that they thought was right, that the original group, they felt, had been in error about. So here they are. They started their own organization, and it's like a mirror organization as far as what they preach and teach and the Holy Spirit and all that other. Okay, as the years went by, they began drifting away from the Holy Spirit influence to the point that today, within the last 5-7 years, they actually sent out a letter from their headquarters. They sent out a letter to all the pastors that this whole thing of being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and so forth, was absolutely not of God. And if they had people practicing that in their church, that they didn't say kick them out, but they said kick them out. And that this was forbidden to take place. Now they started off. Now think of this. They started off walking in unity with the Holy Spirit as far as the gifts of the Spirit and so. But over the years, they went out from us. You see this? Now they're not denying Jesus Christ. And what John's talking about here, the far end result, I mean way out there, the far left field result, denying Christ. But when he says, they went out from us, what he's saying is at one time we walked in harmony and unity as far as our doctrine and what we taught. We were all preaching and teaching the same thing. But then as Paul wrote about certain people, the Alexanders, the Hymenaeuses, those kind of people separated themselves from us and they began preaching and teaching something else. Remember what Paul wrote to the Galatians? O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you would turn away from what was originally given to you? See what I'm saying? These are the kind of people that John's focusing on. And he says, they went out from us, but they weren't of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And in other words, it's kind of wordy, but what he's saying is, look, they went out from us, but they were not of us. Meaning, okay, I'm going to be one of them that went out. Okay? Folks, praise God, I'm telling you what. God loves you, and I just want you to know that what I'm here to share with you tonight, I mean, we just had a meeting, John, Peter, James, Matthew, the whole bunch of us got together, and this is the message for the hour. Now that's a variation on this theme, kind of exaggerated, but what he's saying is they went out from us, but when they came to you and started preaching and teaching, they weren't preaching and teaching to you the same things we're preaching and teaching. And the reason he's saying this, the reason he's writing this, he says, little children. He's writing to fellow believers. He's not writing to people that went out and are trying to teach folks, you know, to sacrifice animals and so forth. He's writing to people who have allowed these ones that have gone out from them to come into their churches and preach and teach to them. And he's saying, listen, some of these people that you've let come into your congregation, some of these people you've accepted as your pastors, they did not continue with us. In other words, they went out from us, they started their own thing, and they are not blessed by us. We do not sanction them. We do not ordain them. We do not stand in agreement with what they are preaching and teaching. Because if they were still with us, if they were of us, they would have continued with us. In other words, they would have continued preaching and teaching the same thing that I, John, that Peter, that Paul, that Matthew, that Timothy and Titus, that we're all preaching and teaching. But these guys didn't do that. That's why he writes all of this. And it does include the people who would try to take you away from Jesus Christ and the foundational truth of you must be born again. In fact, he says, whoever denieth the Son, he says, who is a liar but he, verse 22, that denieth Jesus is the Christ? Okay, how could you deny Jesus is the Christ? Okay, what is the Christ? The prophesied Messiah, the Savior, the one in whom you must believe to be born again, right? How could you be accepted in a church and still deny Christ? This is how. Stand up and preach and teach to people that everybody's born again, whether they know it or not. And that everybody will go to heaven, even if they have not verbally in this life professed Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now you guys may sit there and think, well, who in the world would do that? That's going on now, right now, in major churches. It's a doctrine that is spreading. And the reason it's spreading, you know, you've heard the term one world order and how, you know, the mark of the beast and all this kind of stuff. This is the religious version of that. Because if you can get people convinced that no matter what label you have on the front of your church, no matter what you call yourself, we're all worshiping the same God. Friends, you're not. If you're not worshiping the God of the Bible, if you're not worshiping Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you're not worshiping the same God I'm worshiping. There's only one. And that's it. There are no more. And I don't care what names you call Him. There's only one God. And He is not Muhammad. And He's not Buddha. And He's not Krishna. And He's not Moon. And He's there is only one. And He's revealed to us in Scripture. And He goes on down here and He says, these things, verse 26, have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. In other words, you can't be seduced if the person doing the seducing is not in your presence. You see this? If you're not sitting under the teaching of the seducer, you can't be seduced. This is why John's writing this. He's saying, listen, we've got a mess on our hands. We've got people that have separated themselves from us. They started listening to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And they have gone out and they've begun teaching some of these things. Paul gives a type of example when he writes to the Thessalonians. And he says, listen, don't let people mess you up. The Lord's return has not happened yet. And he corrects that with them. And he says, it's still to come. Don't worry. And he explains about that. So you've got people that are teaching wrong doctrine. You've got people that are teaching things that don't line up with Scripture. Now, I'm not going to go out and at this point and give a whole lot of examples of this. The thing is, I could spend the next hour, literally, seriously, the next hour giving you examples of things that are being taught in the body of Christ today, things that every one of us in here probably been exposed to. Some things you would sit and think, well, now, wait a minute. You mean that's a wrong doctrine? Then I'd have to spend another 15, 20 minutes explaining why it's a wrong doctrine. See what I'm saying? And John says, listen, these people are out there, they're trying to seduce you away from the foundational truths of what have been given to you. And he says, but, he says, now he's writing this to people. What does that mean? That means he is not in the presence of everybody who's reading this. You see what I'm saying? These things I've written unto you. In other words, I can't be there in Galatia. You know, I'm here in Ephesus. I can't be there in Galatia. I can't be there in Macedonia. I can't be there in Samaria. I can't be. So I'm writing this to you to let you know what's going on and to help you understand. The anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. Okay, what anointing have I received from him? Well, I'm going to explain that here in just a few moments. You don't need a man to teach you. Or in other words, you don't need somebody. Let me give you a hint of this. You don't need, no, the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is not for today. Okay, now if I teach you that, what am I also saying? You cannot pray in tongues. Because if tongues aren't for today, how can you pray in tongues? So how can you get the edification? You following me, what I'm saying here? Everything that we're teaching in this course relative to what happens when you pray in tongues, if I tell you that that tongues aren't for today, I'm telling you that I'm actually steering you away from these central truths revealed in Scripture in another direction. In what direction am I steering you? To me. Not to the Holy Spirit. I'm directing you to me. Now, I'll tell you to read your Bible and I'll tell you to pray. But I have eliminated the third person of the Godhead from being an active participant in your life. Exactly. And this is part of what John's talking about. You see how subtle this can be? And some of us grew up under this. Some of us were led to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but we heard the other as well. Now, he says, you don't need that any man teach you. In other words, no human being is the end of truth. No human being can give you everything you need to know. I'm teaching you right now. Obviously, you need me. People that teach me, obviously, I need. So you know that's not what he's talking about. But he says, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. What does that mean? As this anointing of truth is released in you, and you're not giving heed to the seducing voices, you're giving heed to what we experienced the last 15 minutes of the last class session. You're giving heed to the voice of the Lord. What's going to happen is this. That anointing that's released in you is going to take you into a place of conforming, 2 Corinthians 3:18, conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. You are going to abide in Him. Your life will be consumed by the life of Christ. Now let me read something to you. As I was praying about this today, this evening, here at the church, prior to tonight, I'm going to read this to you what the Lord gave me, because it's this verse, okay? And it's going to explain this anointing you've received from Him and so forth. I believe it's going to make it very clear. He said, now he's speaking of this. You're going to hear me speak it as though it came from me, but that's the way He gave it to me, okay? So keep in mind, this came from the Lord. Our spirit is the seed of truth because God communicates with our spirit. Our soul is not born again like our spirit. Our born again spirit hungers and thirsts for the sincere milk of the Word. In our soul, our conscious mind is aware of this hunger. It will grab onto anything associated with Jesus, no matter if it's right or wrong. This is how wrong doctrine gains entrance and becomes a stronghold in the lives of Christians worldwide. As we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is releasing only what originates from God. Since God cannot lie, everything the Holy Spirit releases into our spirit is absolute pure truth. Everything that originates from God is anointed because, as the source of all anointing, He cannot give anything that is not anointed. Therefore, praying in tongues allows the Holy Spirit to release anointed truth or a truth anointing into our spirit. This anointing will not mix with any form of wrong teaching. It will be the check in our spirit when something wrong is preached. It will search the inward part of us and compare the spiritual things of God's truth to the things we have chosen to accept as spiritual truth. Where there is a contradiction, the anointing abiding within will seek to make a correction. But if we do not pray in tongues, the anointing of truth that comes from praying in tongues will never be released. We are then left to the reasoning of the human mind to rationalize and determine what is and is not truth. Sometimes we'll get it right, other times we'll miss it by miles. But the anointing from praying in tongues will never be wrong. Does that help you understand more about what he's saying here in this 27th verse? As you're praying in tongues, that anointing of truth is being released on the inside because there can't be anything else but an anointing of truth released. Everything that's released in you is anointed. And so, as you pray in tongues, as you experience this time of interaction with the Holy Spirit, He's releasing this into our spirit. And the reason He's doing that is to help us stay on the right path. He'll guide us into all truth. So here we're praying in tongues, we're praying in tongues, we're praying in tongues. And we're edifying ourselves. And this anointing of truth is being released on the inside. Then we sit down after months, weeks of doing this. I mean, we are giving ourselves over to this. We're redeeming our time. We turn on the television, tune into Christian TV, our favorite Christian station. And then there's our preacher. You know, it's time for his program to come on. And he's on it, and you know, he's preaching, and boy, I tell you what, he's preaching. And you're sitting there, and it's like, yeah, hey, hallelujah, praise God, amen. Ooh, this is good. Then all of a sudden, he starts saying some things. And on the inside, you've got this sour milk feeling. And you're thinking, well, now, I heard him say that 4 months ago. I got all excited then. Why don't I like this now? And it's like, well, it's that anointing that you've allowed, by praying in tongues, you've allowed the Holy Spirit to release the anointing of truth on the inside of you, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And now this stuff is an invader. And it's trying to move in to get you, to seduce you in the wrong direction. I mean, the last time you heard that preacher talk about how he felt a special anointing, and if you need a healing, you need to send in your $200 offering, because God told me right now there's a miracle that's getting ready to happen. You've got to release that miracle through your faith. Send that offering. And the last time you heard that, man, you got all excited, grabbed the checkbook, and you sent the offering. And now on the inside, you hear him say this, you know, 4 months later, you hear this, and on the inside you're thinking, this is terrible. This isn't right. And stuff's doing flip-flops. Why? Why is that? Well, before you didn't have an anointing of truth released on the inside of you, and you just accepted anything you heard. We were totally dependent on our mind's ability to reason. And because we're trained in this world, you get what you pay for. It made sense. Give an offering to get the healing. Why? Sure, that sounds true. And so we and thousands of other people sent in our offering to get our healing. And 4 months later, we're still believing for the healing. And the Holy Spirit, we hear this sermon again, and it's like, I mean, how many times have people sent in offerings for the same healing? I mean, how much more does God want? First time it's a $200 anointing. Next time it's a $1,000. Next time it's a $50 anointing. I mean, come on, God, make up your mind. Which is it? I want this healing. I want to feel good for a change. And now you pray in tongues and you hear this. And on the inside, your spirit's doing these flip-flops. It's because the anointing of truth has been released by the Holy Spirit into you. And you realize, this is not right. And then, I'm telling you what, I'm telling you right now what will happen. You keep doing that long enough. You keep praying in tongues. Don't you give up. Don't stop. You keep doing this. You keep praying in tongues. Day's going to come. You're going to be sitting there watching this thinking, why am I even watching this guy? I mean, yeah, half the sermon was good, but the other half, he's using it to support something that's not true. Why should I keep watching this guy? I'm not. I'm going to find me a good John Wayne movie. I'll turn it over to the cartoon channel, watch Bugs Bunny for a while. I'll get more out of that than I will from this stuff. And you know, you've heard these things. Well, you know, Brother Martin, you just separate the wheat from the chaff. Why should I waste my time letting somebody sow chaff into me that I've got to separate? Why should I do that? I honestly get more out of just turning the whole thing off, sit there and pray in tongues. Release more truth anointing on the inside of me. See, if you can get this truth across to the body of Christ, this isn't a me truth. This isn't a Jim Martin truth. It's not a Grace Ministries Bible College truth. Guys, I'm showing this to you in God's Word. If you can get this across to the body of Christ and get people convinced to start praying in tongues, I'm telling you right now, a lot of the division would end. A lot of the strife would end. See, here's the thing. When the Holy Spirit's revealing truth and releasing truth, it's going to be the same for everybody. What that means is that ultimately the end result of Ephesians chapter 4, we're all walking and teaching, you know, in unity, teaching the same thing, what he talks about in Ephesians 4, that's going to begin to happen. And people will start shunning that. In fact, what will happen is this. Right now you've got people out there, you reveal truth to them, and they're going to find it too hard to cut off the wrong. But I believed that way for so long. Why, if I were to embrace this, even though I now see some truth in it, and even though I see how that corrects stuff that we believed, if I were to grab a hold of that, I'd have to leave my church. I can't do that. Why not? Well, because I like it there. Well, because everybody likes me. I mean, I can't do that. I'd have to, my family would get mad at me. My dog would get mad at me. I mean, nobody liked me anymore. God would still love you. That's not going to change. And what happens is, you got a lot of Christians that are more consumed with what's happening on the outside than they are what's happening on the inside. See, think about this. Out of all the Bible, the one person that probably took the most persecution for doing what I'm describing is Paul. I mean, yeah, they killed Stephen, but I mean, Paul was arrested and beaten and whipped and all this. And all he was doing was preaching truth to people. The priests, the Pharisees, and all, they tried to kill him. I mean, Paul's ministry lasted longer than Jesus. Jesus, about 3.5 years. Paul, about 30 years plus, 30, 40. And yet, they were constantly trying to kill Paul. Remember, they had to lower him down out of a window in one place just to get him away from the mob? This guy took heat. He talks about it in Scripture. When he talks about in peril for my own countrymen, he's talking, the Jews were trying to kill me. All because I'm teaching truth. He got persecuted for this. Likewise, I'm telling you, you start praying in tongues, and you keep praying in tongues, and that anointing of truth is released on the inside of you, you're going to get to the place where a lot of the stuff that you've heard over the years, I mean, regardless of the source, it's like the Holy Spirit, that anointing of truth, He's in there working, comparing spiritual to spiritual. And He'll start pointing things out. Just like in this word that He gave me, where there is contradiction, the anointing abiding within will seek to make a correction. He's going to say, now, you can't keep believing this. You've let me pray through you too much. And I've been able to release an anointing in you, an increasing anointing to where you can't continue like this. You're going to have to turn this loose. Yeah, but my whole family believes this way. He says, I know. If they'd let me work in them the way you're letting me work in you, I could show it to them too. But they're not. And you've got to take a stand on this. We're not going to create a civil war in your family. I'm just saying you can't keep living. And you know, you say, well, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to trust you. And see, the moment that you do, and you take that wrong stuff and toss it, and then He releases. Think of it like this. You've emptied the closet. Now you've got more room for truth, okay? He releases more into you, and here's what happens. You are taking another step deeper into the fullness of God's will for your life. See, here's the thing. God is not going to keep promoting people who hold on to wrong doctrine. He can't. It isn't that he doesn't love you or anything. It's like, I can't keep promoting, you can promote yourself, but a godly promotion, he can't keep doing that because he doesn't honor that which is wrong. He can only honor that which is true. So therefore, you pray in tongues, that truth keeps getting released, and that anointing, I mean, people talk about, I want anointing. And really, what in their minds, what they're thinking is, I want to lay hands on people and see them fall to the floor. I want to speak to people and raise the dead. I want the blind eyes to open. And all of that is good. We should want that kind of power flowing through us. But try to think of this from God's perspective. From His perspective, anointing simply isn't about power. Anointing is also about truth. And He says so right here, an anointing that abides within. And it's anointing that is completely dedicated to truth. He's not talking anything here about raising the dead and opening the blind eyes and casting out devils. He's talking about walking in truth and not being seduced by wrong doctrines. Now, I'll just give you a foretaste of what's to come for you if you'll do this, if you'll pray in tongues. And this is going to happen every person. You know, I've shared these things before, and the people that give themselves over to praying in tongues, it happens to them. The more you pray in tongues, and it's a growing process, spiritual growth and maturity that will take place in you. The more you pray in tongues, the more the Holy Spirit is going to compare the spiritual things to spiritual. Okay? Over time, you're going to start seeing more and more how much seduction exists in the body of Christ. See, I can stand here and talk about it, but it's not going to mean the same. You're going to start clearly seeing and understanding many of the teachings and doctrines that maybe, you know, you and I both, we accepted hook, line, and sinker. You're going to start seeing how that there are too many churches. You're going to start seeing very clearly that there are too many people pastoring. They're either not called or they should never be pastoring. There are too many people calling themselves evangelists and bishops and apostles and teachers and all. There's no way that they're any of those things. They stepped out on ability that is developed by human strength, not godly anointing. You're going to start seeing this more and more clearly. And in the process of this, you're going to start to feel the heart of God and His sorrow. I'll call it heartbreak. Over all of this that's happening in the body of Christ. And if you are called to a pulpit ministry, especially if you're called to be a teacher, you will begin to, on the one hand, start to feel a tremendous amount of frustration and exasperation as to, dear God in heaven, how can this be changed? But at the same time, you're going to experience God's strength, His peace, and His joy to know it's not up to you to change it. You do your part and leave the rest of it up to God. You're going to begin to see how that in the body of Christ, I don't even know what kind of, I was going to say, you know, such and such percentage. I'll just say this. You're going to see how that in the body of Christ, honestly, the majority of what is happening is not of God. Now, I'm not saying that people are into devil worship. I'm just saying that what they're doing, it's not of God. Good things, but it's not of God. Good sounding sermons, but they're not of God. Sermons that are based on things they've seen in Scripture, but God is not really birthing the fullness of what's being preached and what's being taught. Because, see, guys, if He were what you're hearing in this course, you'd be hearing in every church that's out there. How in the world can any preacher stand before God and say, I taught my people to turn their back on the third person of the Godhead? See what I'm saying? That's how important this course is to help us understand about praying in tongues. Well, listen, we're finished for tonight. Father, we want to thank You so much for Your Word. And Father, I know that this course can be such a challenge, and the things that you're showing us in your word can be a challenge to our mindset. But Father, we've got to break free from the religion. We've got to break free from the traditions of man. And Father, we need the boldness that comes with righteousness to do everything you want us to do. If it means leave our church, we leave our church. If it means we quit sending offerings to certain preachers, and Father, we quit paying for them to spread deception, we will be obedient to you. We need to see what you see, to understand what you understand, so that Father, we are true to only one person, and that's you. Not to man, but to you. So Father, as we leave here tonight, again, Jesus, glory goes to you. Praise and thanks goes to you. Father, we honor you and we love you. In Jesus' name, thank you for protecting us as we go home. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.